This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Matt Schick does work for ESPN. He does work for SiriusXM, the Big Ten Network. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at ESPN underscore Schick, S-C-H-I-C-K. He joins us right now to talk NCAA tournament. I was just going through your tweets from yesterday, and I'm assuming the sarcasm was about the end of the Big Ten tournament final between Wisconsin and Michigan. You wrote, there should be a new rule that you must review every play in every game. No reason why these games shouldn't last 4 hours. There were four reviews over like 25 seconds of game time at the end of that for out of bounds, you know, possession. That was absurd. It took forever. What are they going to do about that?
Well, probably nothing, but I was on a run and listening on the radio as I'm running, just listening to the second half of the game because I'm weird like that. I don't listen to music. I listen to people talk. And I'm listening, and they keep saying, oh, they're going to go to the review. Oh, now they're asking for the review. It's like once that hits 2 minutes, the players are programmed to ask for a review. Hey, we want to review it. We want to review it. I wish you could do that in the home, you know, when you're accused of doing something wrong. But yeah, it's it just took forever. It's just every single thing. And, you know, frankly, a few of those were reversed. And so, you know, I get it. But, you know, at some point, I mean, we just got to move on. I mean, it's just why is the 2 minute demarcation the biggest thing? Why not 1 minute? Why not 45 seconds? You know, I understand it, but the last 2 minutes of a game should not take 20.
Yeah, young kid sent to his room, and he starts making the circle motion with his hand.
That's
we got to
right.
go to the review and check
That's
it
right.
out. Just a disaster that the end of that Big Ten game. Here's what it does, too, Matt. It ruins all the momentum of the game and the drama of the game, which is not good for the game. You know, it's one thing when you see a lot of free throws at the end of a game that's closely called. That we get that. We understand that. But and the other part of it is if they can't figure it out in 30 seconds to a minute tops, it's just got to stay with whatever they called on the floor. But the Big Ten officials were absurd all weekend. So I want to start there. Do you think Indiana should have gotten in over North Carolina, or West Virginia should have gotten in over North Carolina?
I would have sorted them West Virginia 1, Indiana 2, North Carolina 3. That's how I would have slotted them for getting in. You know, some of the reasoning stuff with this is just, like, if you're going to cite, if folks online with North Carolina are going to cite metrics, then that should be cited when the selection committee chair or the vice chair is out there making the statements. Like, they should be more prepared to give a defense for the most controversial pick than it felt like they were on national television. And I get it's a thankless job, but there's a reason that that Bubba Cunningham, that the selection committee chair had to have a vice chair there. When you have to have the vice chair there, it means, yes, we know we're going to get asked about this, and right. I can't talk about it. It's going to be controversial. That was the first question that's out there. And so just be ready to state a case. West Virginia, more quad one wins. And if you're like, well, it's not just about quad one wins. Okay, well, then what are we talking about? Then Texas is in because of the number of quad one wins. You can go down the list of, okay, is it metrics here? Is it quad one wins here? Is it this? It's a mosaic. I understand that, but it's like I tweeted out. It's like, can 90 of 111 bracketologists all be wrong about this? I guess so. Looking at the bracket matrix, it doesn't mean that groupthink is always right. We've seen that before in this country, but at the same time, 1 in 12, when you've got those 13 opportunities and you fail on 12 of them, to me, that's very disqualifying. And I was surprised. It was nice to see it early so that everyone could just spend the entire show being outraged about it.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing about North Carolina, is I would say, to their credit, no one is playing better basketball that was on the bubble than North Carolina. And winning 8 of 10, those two losses to Duke, playing better, winning close games, that's all good. So in terms of the way they're playing, they earned it. In terms of the resume, just didn't feel it.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Flagg didn't play for Duke, and I don't know that game would have been a sweat for Duke had he played. I actually thought Indiana was playing pretty well down the stretch. It was a disappointing effort in the Big Ten, second round game against Oregon, but you know, they beat Purdue. They went on the road and beat Michigan State in the last month. I actually thought that they had made a decent case, but what else? Yeah, go ahead.
No. To that point, I mean, I did too. The win at Michigan State was very loud. The win against Purdue put them in the conversation. And then losing two of their last three, both to Oregon, who's a quality team. You know, beating Ohio State, I felt that was an elimination game. Ohio State's
right.
Out. Indiana's in. Just like they did at the end of the regular season. And even in their losses, you know, they were not getting blown out outside of the game against Illinois. I mean, they were playing pretty good basketball over the last month and a half. And so, yeah, it's too bad for Mike Woodson to have that happen. I would have been very curious to see how the committee would have treated them if they beat Oregon. You know, if they beat Oregon, are we citing quad one now? Because they still had more quad one wins over than North Carolina did. So what is that conversation if that would have happened? We won't know that, but yeah, I was very surprised.
I'm curious, with the Villanova job open, the Indiana job open, if you know Carolina hadn't gotten in and Hubert Davis was let go, how would you rank those three jobs?
I would rank them Indiana 1, North Carolina 2, Villanova 3. And I only say that because of conference affiliation.
Right.
And fan base and fervor and tradition and all that stuff and what you're willing to do to compete. I mean, this year in the ACC was not a great brochure for the league, unfortunately, and you don't know what the next 10 years in the ACC looks like. You know the Big Ten is going to be fine, and you know that Indiana, anyone can step in there and win at Indiana. It just takes recruiting and evaluating and getting the right guys in the portal, which they just haven't been able to do the last few years. I think Indiana out of those three would be the best.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like you would have had the same answer I would have had 3 or 4 years ago, which would have been Carolina's easily
correct.
Number one.
Correct.
But it's the future
correct.
Of the ACC. I mean,
that's all it is.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's just a little in flux, a little less stable, especially with the decrease in the essentially the buyout for schools that want to leave. So yeah, I'm in a vacuum, it's North Carolina without question. With conferences, it's Indiana.
We are speaking with Matt Schick. Matt does a show on SiriusXM Big Ten Network. He does a lot of work for ESPN as well. What else from the bracket bothered you?
Louisville getting an 8, I thought was more egregious than North Carolina getting into the field. How can Louisville be an 8 and North Carolina be an 11?
Right.
I mean, what are we even talking about?
How do they let them play in Lexington?
Yeah, and that was almost like the, all right, we'll give you an 8, but we'll let you play in Lexington type of thing. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's giving Louisville an 8 is not fair to Louisville. It's also not fair to Auburn. And I know there are those out there saying, well, if Auburn can't beat Louisville, they shouldn't be in there anyway. Okay, that's not how this works. The number one overall seed should have, in theory, the easiest path to the Sweet 16. And that's not the case when you might have to play a top 15, a consensus top 15 at the very worst, top 20 team in the second round. So we need to be, think about rewarding these teams like Auburn, head and shoulders. They could lose the last 5 games, they nearly did, and still be the number one overall seed. Okay, so what's the point? If you might have to play Louisville and Lexington, and frankly, Ryan Kalkbrenner and Creighton, I mean, if there's a big man that can defend Jai Broome, it's the 4-time defensive player of the year in the Big East. So that was a seeding that surprised me. I think Michigan, why even play the game on Sunday?
Right.
That bracket was done. The bracket was done.
Do you think the bracket's done before the conference tournaments with respect to seeding? Maybe not entrance, but seeding.
I think there's a pretty good shell of who's going where and what going into the week. And I mean, I have to talk with some folks that have been in the room recently, but you know, I think it's more about who's in than the seeding. But I do believe, like, Saturday, late Saturday, like that thing's put together. And Sunday rolls around, and it's just, here's your contingency bracket. If UAB beats Memphis, we'll kick North Carolina out. Here's the bracket, what it would look like. Because you can't, I mean, it's made for TV. You can't be waiting until the end of the Big Ten championship to, all right, now where do we put Michigan? Because the domino effects could be ridiculous. And I get it from the Big Ten perspective too, because you don't want to punt on that great window. I mean, that's the most watched regular season game of the season. It goes right into the selection
into show. The pairing show. Yeah. I mean, I said the same thing. How does Michigan beat Purdue, Maryland, and Wisconsin and end up being seeded lower than all of them? I mean, I didn't mention this, but I'll mention it to you. I mean, I'm a Maryland guy. I don't know how Maryland beats Wisconsin head-to-head. They've got a better net, better KenPom. They've got a better quad one record, and they're the 4, and Wisconsin's the 3. It seemed like it had been trending that way all along. I don't know how that worked out. I don't hate Maryland's draw. I mean, you do a lot with the Big Ten. Tell me the teams out of the Big Ten that you think have a chance to make a deep run, and how deep.
Well, I think I was going to pencil Maryland into the Final Four, and then I saw them paired with Florida, and that's in the Sweet 16, and that's just unfortunate. Because I don't think a team is playing better than Florida right now nationally. But you know, as long as Maryland doesn't get into foul trouble, I think they'll be okay, you know, in the matchup. But Florida's guard play is just outstanding. So I would hesitate on Maryland simply because of the Florida issue that would be standing in their way. Going down the list of some other Big Ten teams, I think High Point, who I've called a couple of their games this season, they have some high major transfers that have been really good for them. If they can defend the ball screen offense that Purdue is going to run, then I think they'll be right in there with Purdue. Other Big Ten teams, I think Wisconsin, because of John Tonjay, the fact that he was 1 for 14,
crazy,
and they were basically a bucket away from maybe winning the basketball game, gives you a lot of confidence about what Wisconsin can do. Maybe they were just gassed with their fourth game in 4 days. But I really like Wisconsin. And I think any team coached by Dana Altman has a chance to pull off an upset. I mean, Nate Biddle, Chelstad, these guys are good players. It's a good coach. And, yeah, they came up short in the Big Ten tournament. But there aren't many coaches that I'd pick outside of Dana Altman that I think can do more with less. And I think Oregon against Arizona would be an incredible matchup, and then putting them against Duke would be a really good chess match.
You didn't mention Izzo in Michigan State.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think Michigan State has the Final Four potential as well. I love their draw. I think their draw was probably the best out of all of them. I think Bryant is, talking to some folks who have called Bryant games, they are sneaky good with some high major transfers as well. And that's the thing that I do wonder as we get into this tournament. You're like, how is that 15 hanging in there with that two? Well, you heard of the portal? Those things might become a little more commonplace than they were in the past. But, as I scrolled through and neglecting Michigan State is shame on me. But I think, especially with the injury at Iowa State, I think they have as good a shot as any to get to an Elite Eight, if not a Final Four, simply because they're just built as a complete team. They don't have a lot of high scores. Jason Richardson has come on well over the last month. But they've got a lot of good pieces. And, you're not finding a multiple McDonald's All-Americans, but you're finding a Hall of Fame coach who does a lot.
Matt, is it me? I said this to Denton today. I've said it the last couple of weeks. I know Auburn's the number one overall seed, but I think the other three number ones are better. I actually think St. John's and Tennessee is twos are better. They're not overwhelmingly dominant the way when you watch Duke, when you watch Florida, when you watch Houston, especially on the defensive end. What do you think?
I could buy that with Auburn, that it's not necessarily an overwhelming team. They just find ways to win. Now, over the last few days, that hasn't necessarily happened. But I do wonder if that's also not necessarily a bad thing going into this field. Some of their best wins were like a month ago, right? So it's not like this team has been running over everybody over the last few weeks. That just hasn't happened. I'm with you on Duke. I think Duke doing what they did in the ACC tournament without two of their best players and without potentially the best player in the country, I think there's a reason Duke is the odds-on favorite in terms of betting odds and money to win this whole thing. And as long as Cooper's healthy, then I'm with you on that. I think one of the great things about a team like St. John's, it can be a good thing and a bad thing. I'll subscribe to the good thing is that they are one of the worst, if not the worst, three-point shooting team in the country. This is not a team that lives by the three. And I think that can be a good thing in the NCAA tournament. When you're relying on defense, you're relying on other aspects of your game. Same thing with Michigan State. These are two of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball. Houston, I used to cover them on a somewhat regular basis when they were in the American. And I remember watching these games and calling and seeing them in practice going, who would ever want to play these teams? Who would ever want to play this Houston team? They just make things so painful for you. Their draw was great too. And the Tennessee with their defense. I mean, Florida just made it look easy yesterday. So that's where I think Florida as well, in terms of how teams are playing, I'd probably put Auburn fourth in line. But they're pretty complete as well. It's hard to imagine anyone outside the top two seed lines getting in, but we say that getting into the Final Four, but we say that every year. And, you know, more often than not, there's someone outside those seed lines that finds a way.
Talking to Matt Schick with Big Ten Network on SiriusXM, does a lot of work with ESPN as well. So real quickly for Maryland, is there any concern with Grand Canyon? If you don't know a bunch about him, that's fine. I'm just curious.
I haven't done enough research on GCU to give you a great answer on that, but I will just say, I think all it comes down to for Maryland in these first couple of games is just make sure your starters are on the court. Don't get into foul trouble. Make sure Derek Queen is being who he is, and Gillespie continues to give good production. This is a team that does a lot of really good things well. I think their starting five is one of the best in the country, and as long as they're on the floor, they'll be fine. But that's kind of a blind thought, because I'd be lying to you if I said I watched film on Grand Canyon.
No worries. Give me your winner, and then give me a team, a sleeper Final Four team, outside the top 16.
I'll take, because of their path and because of just how good they've been, I'll take Duke. I'll take Duke winning the national championship. If you want a sleeper team or a team outside of the top two seed lines that might be able to make a little bit of a run, I hesitate to say it, but I think in terms of quick turnarounds and matchup problems that can be provided because of what they run and who they can put on the floor. I mean, they just put three bigs on the floor in the Big Ten championship game. I think Michigan is one of those teams that I think UC San Diego could give them some fits. They're a pretty good team too. But I think Michigan is the kind of team that, fast forward, if they can win these first couple of games, and who knows about A&M and Yale, and I get all of that. But, you put that collection on the floor, and the way Trey Donaldson is playing, the momentum that they've got, and with Wolf and Golden, and now Will Cheddar, who's a 6'8 guy, they put all three of them on the floor at one time. That can provide some interesting matchups. And if the tournament is all about matchups, which is the cliche we've heard since the dawn of time, then maybe Michigan is a team that can surprise some folks and build off the momentum for the Big Ten championship.
It's funny, because a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, they're not good at all. Their guards aren't good enough. Maryland went there and won, and they didn't even play well. And on Saturday, they out rebounded Maryland 47-18, Matt. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah. And frankly, I said this last week, that no team in the Big Ten needed a run, needed a long stay in Indianapolis more than Michigan did. Because if they went one and done in that Big Ten tournament, I mean, what are we even talking about? Who knows? Maybe they're still getting the five seed, tongue in cheek, but there's no real tangible evidence that this team could do anything. They're on a skid. They would have lost three or four straight going in. But now with this momentum, now with Trey Donaldson and being kind of the head of the snake at the guard position, and it's a fascinating matchup. They got a nice coaching edge. Dusty May knows how to get to a Final Four, which is odd to say with his time at FAU. But I'm not all in on Michigan, but certainly feeling a lot better on them this time than I was a week ago.
You know, one other quick thought for you in watching Michigan this weekend. Braden Smith was the Big Ten Player of the Year. I love watching him play, but, man, he is in a slump right now, and they need his scoring if they're going to win a couple of games in this tournament. Purdue does.
They do. It can't all be about Trey Kaufman-Redd. No. They're going to have some scoring from Braden Smith, and I will – I'll just say this, and I know we're kind of homers for teams that we've called in this business, but this High Point team has, you know, you win 15 straight. They've got some high major players. Bobby Pettiford played at Kansas. Keza Jiffa was a junior college All-American. Kamani Hamilton is a transfer from Mississippi State. You know, they're going to walk in that gym. I mean, Justin Bodo is a seven-footer who can protect at the rim. If you're going to walk into that gym and you're Purdue, you're going to be like, okay, this doesn't look like a, you know, a low major team. And so there's a reason they've won a bunch in a row, and everyone's hot at this juncture, at least those that are AQs. And so those are the teams you got to watch out for.
That university is an interesting university. I mean, that I forget when they turned D1. It was maybe 10 years ago, but they brought in this you know, Wall Street guy that raised a bunch of money and turned that school and that athletic department around. He is, I forget his name. It starts with a Q, it's, the school president.
Nito
Cubain. Sorry, do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and raised a bunch of money, dynamic, you know, motivator, speaker, and that school now plays sports. I didn't remember that 15 years ago.
Yeah, no, it was 2000 when they made it to D1, and yeah, he's worth millions of bucks.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime.
Yeah. Matt Schick, everybody. Denton, I took one of my kids on one of those Carolina, you know, college trip visit things, Elon, Wake Forest, High Point, and mixed in, I think, maybe around at Pinehurst in the middle of it. But that's beside the point. This dude that took over that school, High Point, which is in this area that's like the furniture capital of the world, High Point, North Carolina, like every major furniture company is there. I thought when I went to visit the school with my son that I was checking into the Ritz-Carlton. It was so high-end, beautiful. They had hired this guy. He had made a ton of money, I think on Wall Street, I think it was, maybe a hedge fund, came in, raised a bunch of money, and said, we're going to start playing Division I football. They were already playing Division I basketball, I guess. And I think this is their first trip to the tournament. Am I right? Here's his name. His name's Nito Cubain. I was right about the Q part. I couldn't just professional. Money raiser and speaker. Incredible dynamic personality he was. But anyway.
This is their first trip to the tournament.
Yeah. I bet they've got some NIL money at High Point. Just guessing. All right. We've got Ben coming up at 12. Couple of things to get to when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.